The title of what I'm going to share with you in a few minutes is, anybody that would read it, you'd automatically say, well, I feel like I'm the least qualified person to talk about it. But you know, if our eyes are on ourselves in a way that's not thinking of the Lord or being grateful or whatever, there isn't a single word in Scripture that we'd be worthy to say. There are no perfect human beings walking around here on the earth, but the perfect one is in us. And today we're going to be challenged a little bit with a few things that will hopefully bring that to light. When Pastor shared last week what he did about, you know, with before the eclipse and people were begun, some spiritually minded, some became ridiculous minded, but the world, there's a hunger out there to be saved. There's a, what I, just like what Mark's talking about, the revivals, and I feel it myself. There's a vacuum that strong, mature Christians need to step into, or at least step in between that and the lost souls that are being sucked into that. So as I pondered what I was going to speak about all week, I had a real good message. It was real strong, and last night I sat down and nope. Got to change it a little bit and go over to here, because as things are brought to our attention, like in our message last week, and every day that you wake up and you see the news and the streets and the prices and you hear the stories, it also creates a lot of fear in the world. You know, and fear and faith, in my belief anyway, fear and faith are the same thing except diametrically opposite and different. Fear is faith is when you believe with your heart, confess with your mouth unto God, and then you're free from fear. Fear is the opposite of faith. It works the same way. When your heart is filled with whatever goes into that, and then your mind meditates on it, and the little battles take place in your mind or in your soul, and usually what comes out of that is fear is something that sounds like this. Well, I'm scared to death. Well, I knew something like that was going to happen. You watch, you just wait and see. And we literally begin to say, we don't know if we believe confession doctrines or name it, claim it. I've heard all this stuff making fun of people who are trying their sincere best to be good in the world. When the world does the same exact thing all the time, every day, using their words, what they believe in their heart, and what comes out, and it creates quite a challenge for everyone out there. And we're out there, you know. We come here for our weekly huddle and our pep talk, and hopefully a lot more than that. We come here expecting, we come here, more importantly, is to give unto the Lord, to worship Him. And then when we come to this point in the service, when today it's me and most days it's Pastor Tim or other folks here, other Mark, whomever, then that's we want to receive from this word and to give us some the ability to be strong out there, to be strong inside of our own selves, strong in our communities, in our family, and in our neighborhood. And so what came to me, I guess I'd have to say it this way, what I was instructed last night to do is today is talk about strength, spiritual strength and maturity. It's kind of like, you know, we were in the playground and we're doing light things, we were quoting script, whatever. Now it's time to come and sit around and get the meat of the thing. And it's very exciting for God to settle me down and to bring things to my remembrance of not just what how good it used to be, but how great my relationship can be with Him now. But I have to feed myself daily. I have to nurture myself so that I can become strong and not be weak. So that I do have a clear vision and I do have unplugged ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to confirm that word inside of me. And I need more and more to feast on that. Because when you feast on other stuff and you put it in there, garbage in, garbage out. Through your words, through your actions, through your deeds, through your faithfulness, all kinds of ways. But the thing is, we need the opposite of that now. And if you're here and you're a believer, you're going to understand clearly what I'm talking about. And if you're not, then let's become one today so you can understand what I'm talking about. Come home. Come back to the Lord who loves you and creates you. But saints, we got to be strong in the face of some very clever opposition in the world, tricky, deceitful stuff. People say things that are the opposite, but and that's obvious, but sometimes it's not quite that clear. But we need to be strong and well-versed in Scripture. And as Scripture uses the word perfect in King James language, we'll get to that in a minute. That's why I had to look and research the words, because I know we can't be perfect, but in their meanings of how they said things, you'll see here as we read a Scripture in a moment, that's the way they communicated in that day, and they knew what it meant. But what it really means is to be strong and without any other need other than your reliance on the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing today, and if we get the chance to pray for one another, which I hope we get to do this at the end here, just keep in mind that you're going to pray for the strength of your brother and sister, and they in kind are going to pray for you. We don't need to pray for ourselves, you can, but today at the end of the service, we're going to interact together and pray for one another, lift up one another. And just take a few minutes to just love on someone. That's what makes a community strong. That's why God's blessing is on that, you see. And boy, as soon as we walk out the door today, every time we're in our daily lives, our daily routines or whatever, that's when we need to be hungering more for the Lord. And this message is as real to me as it is going to be to you, so I'm interested to hear what God says here. I have notes, but as you know from how I spoke before, he don't always cater to my notes. Or maybe that's my fault. I don't know. I'm going to read from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 8. It's a very familiar scripture. James 1, 2 through 8. I'm going to read two versions, two translations. And the first one is wonderful. Love it. Heard it all my life. It tripped triggers in me. It encouraged me. You'll see why when you get to it, how familiar it is. And then as I read a few other translations to try to get what all of the, I like to look up Greek words and so forth, see what original meanings were. I have a version from the Message I'll share with you after I read this, but I'm going to read from James chapter 1, 2 through 8. It says, my brethren, oh, and when it says brethren, you can say sistren. Everybody, that's kind of what he means there. Count it all joy. How much joy? All. When you fall into diverse temptations. What? Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven of the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. There is literally years of time I could talk about and we could all share about unpacking everything that just said to us. And then I went to read this version. Listen how this is. And if you want to follow parallel, that's fine. This is James 1, 2 through 8. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. For you know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shown its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do the work, so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers, W-O-R-R-Y, who worry their prayers, are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Keeping all your options open. What in the world would that mean? It means in the world. If we keep worldly options open and we don't come believing with our heart focused exclusively on the Lord, King James mentioned it's double-minded, multiple-minded is another rendering that some people have for that. That you can't receive anything. Now, I'm a multiple-minded person, and my wife will tell you that. I don't know how many projects I have at home. Got to finish that one today. Oops, hit this one. Oh, I want to start another one over here. It will take a minute. I'll get it done before I can. No. Nope, 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 nope. But somebody, I just met a fella or talked to my neighbor yesterday. How you doing? I'm fine. I'm retired now. Well, are you busy? Yeah, I'm busy. I have plenty to do. It's because I leave things open and I can go back to finish them. And I have to watch YouTube to figure out how to finish them. Anyway. Hey, I'm not the only one. Some of you know what I'm talking about, right? Yeah, that doorknob's supposed to go this way. So anyway, spiritually strong and mature believers. Now, that's why I said earlier that when I say something like that, I probably feel the least qualified to talk about it. I'll be 66 years old in May, and from the inside out, I know every one of you here can say that. It don't seem like I'm that old. Except when I try to run and I can't. Or I used to exercise by going up and down steps multiple times. I'm about three in and I got to stop for a because this body doesn't want to keep up with it. So in the flesh, I'm coming into a season of maturity. At least one would hope so. But spiritual maturity. We're going to talk about what that is and extract that from this scripture that we read. And strength, spiritual strength. There's a ton of things that the Lord says in here, and every time I speak, I always talk about how he doesn't just tell us one point. The Holy Spirit, and even Jesus, as he told parables, there were always multiple things coming at you from all sides that are good, which completely corresponds with the scripture that we read earlier about when you have temptations or tests and pressures, that things come at you from all sides when you're tempted. And that's true. But see, God has given us the ability to overcome that. So let's pay attention to some of the words and statements he gives us that he doesn't just describe that as one in one word. This is how he challenged me to speak mostly from the revised version of the scripture today, because if I go over here to the King James Version, I want to talk about patience. And if we talk about patience, you're going to get a chance to develop some. No question about it. And when temptations come, challenges come, he said here in this, I guess I'm going to speak out of King James for a little bit, we'll be all right. He said, consider it joy when you fall into temptations. Consider it all joy, not a little bit of joy. Consider it all joy when you fall into different temptations, when you see different challenges and so forth coming against you. Because it happens every day that you breathe, every corner that you turn, every person that you meet, every time you're in alone time, quiet time, these kind of things. And I got to tell you this by way of confession, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, but this is about me at this point. There's many times in my life, in my by myself times, and other times when some people aren't looking, I've failed. And that's where the enemy would like you to be, is alone and isolated and discouraged, maybe angry, maybe whatever other emotion. When you get off like yourself like that, now, there's a time you can be all by yourself. But when you're in that situation and the temptations start to come, if you have God's word inside of you and you have thought about it, the word that says count it all joy when you fall into these times, you will at that point, just like I have, not feel quite so alone anymore. Did Jesus not tell us, I am with you always? Well, sometimes what we feel like doesn't make any difference. We don't live by feelings. We have to live by faith. We have to continue to nurture that so that we can be mature when those temptations, those challenges come. If it's our alone time or our public time or any kind of a time. Because the attacks of the enemy to us and to those around us are not isolated to just us. All that's going on in that spirit world here today, it's very active. But there are champions of life that Jesus is inside of that can make a difference for him. And help to save other people by example, by prayer. Now, if you're in that corner isolated, if you're young and you haven't had the experience to grow, maybe you've slipped sometimes. Maybe then you've prayed, oh God, here I am again, and here I am again, and again, and again. Perhaps something has gone sideways, and you're new to it, and you haven't seen enough of how faithful God is because you're so new at it. Maybe you haven't had the chance to speak with other people who are always encouraging because you're kind of new at it, or maybe you've had the opportunity and you missed it, so you're not mature enough in the Word. Me, I'll use my example. And so maybe you take a step or make a decision to fail. Oh my goodness. Immediately, the condemnation. Wow, you failed the Lord. Yeah, you hypocrite. The devil's favorite word. Takes one to know one. Anyway. But over time, as these same type of challenges come to us, temptations, challenges with ourselves, with other people, our relationships, the more we respond the way the Lord tells us to each time, we will get stronger. We won't get weaker. You can't fool me and deceive me so many times. Eventually, the deception just goes out the window and you start doing things all on purpose. And before you know it, you find yourself out of sorts, out of the line of the Holy Spirit conviction. He didn't leave. And we really haven't left. We're just kind of ignoring the fact that he's with us because he's always with us. But over time, we meet those challenges. If we try and we fail, what are we supposed to do? Brethren, I write these things to you that you sin not. But if you do, some versions of that word, if, are translated to when you do. They had to put if because Jesus told people when he forgave them, go and sin no more. But he said, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Your sins will be forgiven. And if you're sick, you'll be healed. See the double meaning here? The double thing the Lord gives to bring us strength. So we fail in our lives, we get back up, and we confess, we repent, and we don't run away from the Father, we run to him because that's our strength. Yeah, we'll be disciplined, we'll be corrected, and it might hurt a little bit, but better are the healing wounds of a friend than the murderous wounds of an enemy. And the Father will, he's always there to take you back. If you fall 999 times, you get up one more time, you've pushed back 100 times, maybe not the same exact challenge. Maybe you've gotten a shouting match with somebody who you're trying to witness to and you didn't come off so well. Maybe you offended another person by something and enjoyed it. I get into that trap too, especially in the political climate. You don't want to offend people, you want to love people, but we all want to feel good when we're right. And sometimes when you're butting heads in arguments and conversations and whatever, you come out of that and this person's thinking, oh, I'll show them. And you're over here thinking, well, there's no way. And the Lord's going, children. Come home, let's figure this out. Let me fix this for you. We repent and here we go. One way to make ourselves strong in the Lord, God has given us all kinds of physical, natural examples, if you will, just parables, the way Jesus did. And one way to gain strength is to push back against the resistance against you. It works that way in the physical body. When you push back, and then the next time it comes, and it might seem a little stronger, it might be a little heavier, it might be a little more loaded, then what we do is we say, Lord, I'm supposed to be joyful in this time. Give me strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, count it all joy when I'm in temptations. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Get thee behind me. Kurt, sometimes it's not the devil. Most times it's Kurt. Because he's not big enough to be everywhere all the time. That's another sermon. Push back. Push back. 5 pounds of challenge. 20 pounds of challenge. Oh, this is a little too heavy. I need help. Hey, brother, come and help me. Yeah, 2 or 3 agree. Yeah, 2-fold cord's not easily broken. Come and help me. Push back. Oops. Didn't push hard enough this time. Father, in Jesus' name, I can't get this microphone on my head. In Jesus' name, forgive me, Lord. You know my heart. I come to you in your name. Cleanse me. And he's already cleansed you because he's not going to die on a cross again. We're just required to come to him. And so the next time that situation might come a little different package, whatever, it keeps coming. All kinds of diverse places, it said, diverse temptations. And as you push back, the same thing happens to your spirit man that happens to your physical man when you push back on physical stuff. You get stronger. But in the flesh, do you know that when people work out in the flesh, do you know the first thing that happens is they tear their muscles down? It kind of breaks them down. It's kind of like joining the military. My dad was in the Army 27 years. They woo you in. Then we get there, you're in custody. You're in their custody. You're their property. They'll be quick to tell you right away the first morning when you run outside in just your briefs and your t-shirt, you're not you anymore. You're part of the one body that is the Army of the United States of America. And then now run up this hill 50 times and crawl in the mud and do all this other kind of stuff. I don't want to do that, but you do it. And on the other end of doing that, you know what you are? You're polished. And you're disciplined. And you're better for it. And yet every time in that situation that you need to turn to somebody or get instruction from somebody, it's your leader. In the spirit world, it's the Lord. And as you go through the challenges out here, you will become stronger if every time you'll just do what he shared. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Kurt, I thought he's talking about people that are lost. When you read it, are you lost? Nope. Come unto me, Kurt. Come unto me, Doug, Mike, Tim, Susan. Come here. Come here. Jump on my lap. He may say, come here. We got to talk about a few things. Let's go to this spiritual woodshed over here and let me say some scriptures. Let me remind you what I wrote in my journal. So the Lord opens his journal and we start reading about in Galatians to not do things according to the flesh. Oh, okay. The Holy Spirit tells us as we begin to remember these words, let the Lord speak to us how to meet that particular challenge. I said about not a bad things, but it says here, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. But Lord, no man can tame the tongue. You know what he says? I can. Let me do it. You keep your mouth shut, and then when it opens, allow me to speak. Because when the words come from him, if things are good, people will feel good and great. And if things are bad, people are going to feel the impact of God. That's why if you do fail or fall or have a setback and you get up and you go to the Father and you walk in that repentance, you'll show it in your life, you'll show it in your words, and people won't think, well, that's just some high and mighty people. They'll say, that's somebody just like me, but they just are holding on. I've watched them go through too much, so forth and so on. And that pattern happens over and over again in all of our lives. Strength, the joy of the Lord is our strength. His strength is made perfect where, do you know? In our weakness. That's why when you fall into diverse temptations or when your tests and challenges come from all sides, that's why it's important. And I believe that's important why he said the word joy there, because you don't. Joy is not an emotion, not in that situation, because you don't feel joy. I feel joy when I watch little videos of my grandkids. I feel joy when I see the Lord touch somebody in whatever way their need is. But I don't feel joy when I'm in a pressure situation, when I'm in a tense sensation, when I'm trying to pray for that lost person in my family, and they couldn't care less. Or when I try to do something and it didn't come out quite right, and maybe somebody saw it wrong, and then you're being unjustly talked about and charged and whatever, and you say, well, I don't care what other people think. Well, to a point. There's kind of a lie woven into that. The reason we have to be concerned on the only point with what they think is, who do they see when they see me? What do they hear when they hear me? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus? Yep. He said it another way in his word. He said, esteem others higher than yourself. So you have to, if you're going to esteem him, you have to be knowledgeable of what they say. Now, you don't have to listen to people who, when they say all manner of evil against you falsely, like the Lord said, what did he say to do in that case? You know, pray for them. I don't feel joyful enough to pray for them. What? Pray for them anyway. I don't want to lift this weight. Lord, it's just too heavy. Nope. Well, here, let me look in your journal again. Why did you say I can do all things through Christ? I'm supposed to fix this? That's an ugly person, Lord. We don't need that person around. Let's get rid of him, and then I'll be okay. Let's move this weight out of my way, and I'll be okay. Nope. You're in the spiritual woodshed, and nobody else. Let me tie this thing off, Tim. I got a big head that don't fit like it does other people. We're in the woodshed with a loving Father, and he's told us, nothing shall be impossible unto you. We read scriptures about mountains flying out here and there, and we get all caught up sometimes trying to picture what that means and so forth. But when it all comes down to it, it's not fantasy or myth. It's the real life we live in. Your mountain might be habits that you need to be stronger in so you're strong enough to face other things. Your mountain might be demeaning other people and not know it, demeaning yourself, and you've done it so much it's just second nature. All these things, you know what I'm talking about, all these things where there appears to be weakness in our life, we can have the spiritual strength to endure it and to come out even better on the other side. There's never been a greater need than right now for spiritually strong and mature leaders. People who are committed and willing to push through the tough times and to come out as an overcomer. You can't be an overcomer until you come over something. And you're not an overcomer if there is no challenge. And I'll even go so far to say, this is true with me. You're not going to be an overcomer unless that's a real challenge that could make your life deficient or hurt you or someone you love. Something so real and genuine that you know it's not of God. It's going to take something to move that mountain. That something is, Father, let your joy rise in me right now. Because I feel like punching somebody in the face. Because I know they're not right, Lord. Because, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Sing it, Kurt. Sing it while you're in my woodshed. The joy of the Lord. All right, Papa. All right. After that dust settles, you know what it feels like? It feels a little stronger. You feel like, wow, how did I get through that? That looks so impossible to me. I hear sometimes people talk about how they tried to kill themselves. I have to confess to you that I've been there at one time in my life myself. With all the things I've seen God do in my past, all the wonderful people I've met, I've seen healing that there is no explanation other than the Lord, because it happened right in front of my eyes. And yet, we go out there and there are diverse pressures and temptations and hateful things that come at us all the time, all the time. And now it's 24/7, 365 and a half days if it's the full moon nuclear sun or whatever it is. Every waking second in this world, we're bombarded. And it isn't that you became less of a person and gave in to the fact, I don't want to live anymore. It's just you've become blinded and deceitful and you haven't been in fellowship with God and your attention has been turned otherwise. And you don't even feel like you had anything to do with it, but I just can't take it anymore. All those are the kind of pressures that we face. You face them in your life. I've seen them in mine. But you know what? Today, the 14th of April, Lord, I'm standing in church looking at my lovely friends, feeling the warmth of the Holy Spirit, feeling the fellowship, feeling the strength. In some ways, this is a huddle where we get together. Other ways, it's fellowship. It's a carrion dinner of the word, of the meat of God. And I want to chew, and I want to chew, and I want to chew with you. And I want to taste and see that the Lord is good. Joy is a decision. So therefore, strength is a decision. As you walk in the Spirit and don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. When the temptations from that come to us and we push back, we'll talk about how to do that. Specifically how to do that. We push back and forth. The war's already over. Losing this little game of tug of war is not the end of your life, but it's an opportunity to exercise joy and get a little stronger at it. No man will pluck you out of my hand. The war is over. Done. Sins are all forgiven. Done. Now, a lot of people that don't want to believe that or accept that, whatever the consequence of that is, that's on them. It's on me. But we have a book. I've called it an instruction manual. I've called it a journal. It is the Word of God. And when we read it and we hide it in our heart that we might not sin against God, you know what? That Word will make it so that you won't sin. If you resist, if you push back, if you resist the devil, he will get fleas. No, that's not how that works. I'm a grandpa. That's what kids, he'll flee. Flee doesn't mean, all right, mister, we'll come over here. Flee doesn't mean, I'll be back tomorrow. Flee means, I'm getting out of here. Open the door. If not, I'll make a new one. Don't want to be near this person. The devil will flee if we resist. If we resist. Last several months of my life, I discovered a song that's 9 years old. It's called Jesus, I Need You. Hillsong Music sings it. And I even said before I even knew what the words was that it seems to be my anthem right now. I just need to stop myself. Rhonda's heard it from the basement a lot, I guess. Some other song. Just turn it up. And it says, hope be my anthem. And I thought, anthem, that's exactly what I said, Lord. I want this song to be my anthem. This talks about how I need you. So what I've done is a matter of practice. Whenever I do things that aren't quite right or I get upset about something or if someone has offended me or it ain't going quite right and I don't know what handle to get or button to push, I mean, I'm blessed that I can go and sit down and I turn that on and I listen to the Word in song. Lord, I need you. I need you. In right in the middle of that. This is why I like, what song is it? Raise a Hallelujah. The testimony to that song. I believe that a baby was supposed to die. I'm going to way condense it here. You can find the truth out, search it. And this gentleman who was prayed for the family, whatever, he got word that it looked like, well, no matter how much you've prayed, no matter what's happened, blah, 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 this child's going to die and get the ultimate healing and go to Jesus and so forth. And he says, it came right up out of me, right in the middle of that word, in that feeling in that room. The Lord, the Holy Spirit just said, raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of that pressure right there. Raise a hallelujah. Praise God. You know what? You're not just praising him in the situation. In all things, give thanks. You're praising him for it. Because people have twisted the scripture to say, well, I ain't praising God for bad things that happen. Well, we just read a scripture that talked about count it joy when you fall into different temptations. And we've kind of self-interpreted and maybe watered the meaning down about when things happen to us. God, you'll give thanks to the Lord when you're in a situation. Many times you have to thank him for it. Why? Because your mind is set right and your heart is fixed. And you know that that situation means it's just an opportunity to exercise the empty tomb power right there. Right in the presence of an enemy so powerful. And you choose to have joy in that time that it might even turn them around. Maybe not instantly. Maybe next week, next month, next year. But everything is an opportunity to plant a seed. And you got to be strong enough to do it. You got to be strong enough to do it in the middle of the resistance, in the middle of the temptation to doubt, in the middle of the darkness. You got to be that one candle. Am I strong enough to light my light, Lord? I feel so. I'll do it for you, Kurt. Just relax. Say it out loud. The joy of the Lord is in me. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. I thank you in this situation. I thank you for the situation. I thank you because you've already overcome it. And I know that there's a time that I'll be on the other side there looking back. So I move forward against it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Jesus, I need you. Oh, how I need you. And you know what? He'll be there every time. You'll sense it in your spirit rising up. I try to get away from saying you'll feel it because I always feel goosey bumps all the time. But it has nothing to do with that. It has to do with very real, tangible, spiritual things against the resistances. All right, I got 5 points to do in 2 minutes, so here we go. There's a lot of different ways. I got 5 examples of things that we can do or implement in our life. There's way more than what I'm going to say. And when I say some of these, something else will pop into your mind, and that's fine because we need to go on down that path. But I'm going to just kind of start the top spinning here with these 5 things. The first 3, though, is absolute. You have to believe them no matter what you think. I'm right, okay? The first one is to consume God's word. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Another double emphasis. Why do we need a lamp to our feet and path? Well, we've got to go somewhere. Where? Into that mountain? Into that challenge? 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and mature, equipped in every good work. Equipped in every, maybe most of them, Lord, there's a few, every good work. The word, consume it, read it, meditate on it. Say it out loud when you're by yourself. Scream it out loud when you're in the car. Whenever your mind wants to get over here and say, yeah, I'm trying to think of anything. Force your mind, force yourself. Stop, say it out loud if you have to. Pull it, come back to the word, come back to the word. Come back, get your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's because the battleground of all this is in the mind world, in the soulish world, not in the spirit world. But we get to use spiritual weapons against a carnal enemy. How fair is that? Not at all. Okay, point 2, prayer. So consuming God's word, how to become spiritually strong and mature in prayer. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Don't be anxious about anything. Oh, man. Time to go to the woodshed. Didn't even get a sentence out. But in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, multiple layers, present your requests to God. Don't send him an email. Lord, you know, okay. I know you're busy, but when you can get to it, you know better than that. Come boldly to the throne of grace, right? And the peace of God, which transcends or passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind, will guard your spirit and soul, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Peace. Peace. When we're in pressure cookers, we begin to pray with thanksgiving and all that. This tells me that not only will the joy added to that recipe will make us able to endure it, peace will settle us right down. Settle us down. And guard, peace will guard our hearts and minds. And 3, the Holy Spirit, or Holy Spirit. He's a person, not an it, not a thing. Give him full access, full surrender. Well, I thought I did. Let's see how many notches is on the woodshed door. You did. It's just sometimes we don't listen. Sometimes we're kind of turned that way. Well, are you talking to Christians, Kirk? Yep, because we have maturity we need to get to here, okay? John 14, 26, the friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. Will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I've told you. Wow, what a weapon to take into these little battles we have. Weapons that already won the war, but this enemy is persistent against us individually, so we need to apply these the Holy Spirit will equip us to remember everything he said. The fourth thing is to desire excellence. To desire excellence. Philippians 1:10. That you may approve all things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. As a Christian, we can pursue excellence in our faith, and it will lead to spiritual growth, helping us to bear good fruit. And we don't eat that fruit. You know who eats the fruit that we bear? We don't bear the fruit for us. I mean, we might get credit because we're carrying, but people need to eat that fruit. Oh, here's the fruit of kindness off Kurt's tree. Here's another. So we need to understand excellence, and it's not like pursuing perfection, but yet we're seeking to be more like Jesus every day. And that's an excellent thing to desire. So desire excellence and head in that direction. On this planet, you won't get to the absolute excellence, nor will you get to the absolute perfection, because it's a direction. But what a ride. What a ride. And the fifth thing is to strive for maturity. Well, I've been a Christian 45 years. Doesn't matter. That's why those old people in the Old Testament lived 600 or 700 years. We have no clue. Philippians 3:13-16. Brethren, I do not consider that I have made it on my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. Say that. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press. I thought this was supposed to be easy. Nope. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward or high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature and thus minded, and if anything you are otherwise minded, God will reveal that to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. To be mature requires perseverance and strenuous effort. Effort. Sometimes we relax too much on the fact that salvation is free to everyone. No, no. The Bible uses the word free in a lot of places, but the greatest price, the greatest measurable price in all of what we exist and know had to be paid to put our sins to death and to give us a chance to live forever. It's not free. Oh, we can freely receive what he's done, but you have to remember there was a price paid for us. You can't earn it. You can't do enough good stuff that God said, I'll just let you be saved because of that. Part of this mystery that of living for Christ in this day is we see people, Jewish people, other people who acknowledge Christ in some way. You know, he was alive or whatever. We think, well, maybe God will have a special grace because they're sincere and they're seeking the truth. Well, the Lord said, if you seek the truth, you'll find the truth if you search for it with all of your heart. So these divisions we have about religion, differences and whatever, there are some out there that have nothing to do with Jesus or spirituality, and those will die and decay. Don't go to them. But if we seek the truth, no matter where we're coming from, what denomination, whatever, if you name his name and you're seeking the truth, you'll find it. That's why he told me in the woodshed, and he showed me in the journal. He didn't write it in the journal. He didn't have it written to be wrong or give me something that it's not possible to do. So spiritual maturity is a direction we can go, and boy, do we need that today. We need to be that. You're going to feel like me. Well, I'm just talking about me here for just the next 30 seconds. Like, do I tell people I'm a mature Christian? Shouldn't have to say it. People can see it. They sure will see it when you're not. Right? It's hard. It takes an effort. You have to deny the flesh. Did you know the Bible also said this free ride that some of us think we have? He said we need to crucify our flesh. Man, crucify the flesh. He didn't just say keep it in control, you know, just put it over here, handcuff it to the wall. He said crucify it. He didn't just say let your fleshly desires die. He said crucify it. The word crucify has a whole different, distinct meaning. Because all of that needs to be crucified. And once it is, you'll find that in this world walking around, the old me was crucified. Now the new me is challenged to push back enough so people can see Christ and accept him in their life because they know me and they see me. That's the challenge. You can say you're not worthy, just like I could say that, whatever, but God doesn't look at it through that lens. He looks at it through grace. That's why he said, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, what do you mean? Well, it's in the journal. Let me read it to you. See, we can spark little things that could help us as we push back. And Paul said it this way, I've finished my course. There is therefore laid up a prize for me. He pushed back, and he was an overcomer in this life. And he had the glorious opportunity to die. Everybody still dies, Kurt. What's good about that? Because death isn't death to the believer. It's a homecoming. It's a homegoing. We're sad here because we don't see him. We can't hear him. But that's the ultimate victory. See, the devil thought that was the ultimate weapon, but Jesus turned that all around. So therefore, count it all joy when you fall into different temptations. And let's be mature for the Lord. Let's bow our heads, please. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to say about 2% of what I wrote down, but 100% of what you wanted to share. I pray for these people, and every single person, it's a different challenge, that the things that press in, their concern for loved ones, financial things coming into, physical ailments, cancers, all these things that comes our way with death written all over them and all the bad things. Lord, help us to focus within to the word that you've placed in our heart that we've hid. And not only just not to sin against you, but to be an instrument, a tool, a spiritual weapon to put the enemies down and to help us become stronger and stronger with every encounter. I thank you for these people. I thank you for the safety and the love you've given us. I pray for this country, Lord, the things we're facing right now. Your word says we need to pray for those in power. We need to pray always. So we just pray for this nation. You know what the needs are. You know how to move things and speak to hearts and guide people. Lord, we just pray that in your name and your will. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.